You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
We're about to go around the NFL here on Sports Radio 610. Before we do, I remembered as I was reading the many, many different terrible neighbors that you guys have had, probably the one that does take the cake for me was a different apartment from the one that I was previously talking about. Actually, I think my last apartment before I moved back home. My upstairs neighbor at one point, I don't know what they were doing up there.
Yeah.
And I would venture a guess, not a informed one, but I'd venture a guess. Because in my own apartment, there were points in time where it smelt like somebody had doused me in nail polish remover. It smelt like a heavy scent of acetone was coming through the vents. And my thought was, only God knows the industrial strength, whatever they're doing up there to create that scent. Heavily in my apartment.
Yeah, they got vats of
something. I was like, only God knows if they're Walter Whiting up there.
I wonder what it was.
I have no idea whatsoever.
I bet you our listeners will come.
I wonder if it's like PCP or something like that.
All right.
Because it got a unique smell.
713-572-4.
I think so, yeah.
I wouldn't know. I'm a good Christian boy.
Our listeners will come through. What is the acetone used for?
Or at least that smell.
I have no idea.
I had no idea myself. And I am generally, I take the perspective of, I don't like saying nothing unless it's just unbearable can't deal with it. And it was unbearable. I was somebody.
And see, that's kind of how my neighborhood was. Like, it was a bunch of trap houses and all that stuff around. Mm-hmm. And people just mind their business. It's just, don't you go over there.
Like, how am I supposed to not be able to breathe in my living room?
Yeah.
You know, that's
kind of like when the weed start coming through your house. Yeah. It's just like, man, I got to say something
there,
now.
There is a line. Yeah.
They were selling formaldehyde. Yeah, maybe so. Maybe that's what it was.
People high on anything now, man. ain't no telling.
Apparently so. We take you to Baltimore, where the site of the NFL coaching carousel breaking down happened yesterday as the long-time Baltimore Ravens head coach John Harbaugh was relieved of his duties. I thought they did a really cool thing in letting him pen a really, really nice farewell letter and posting it on their own thing, as opposed to just a, we thank you for your service and, you know, we thank you for your time.
Parted ways with.
They let him have a really heartfelt goodbye. But how did you react to seeing that John Harbaugh, 18-year head coach there in Baltimore, oversaw a Super Bowl and many, many years of winning getting fired for the first time, not making the playoffs in, 4 years?
Yeah. I think a few things are worth mentioning here. Number one, if John Harbaugh, and you just laid out some of his resume, if John Harbaugh can get fired, anyone can get fired.
Absolutely.
I mean, everyone. We knew that already, but boy, this illustrates it.
We should have saw this coming. Remember we had Jason Lockefeuer on?
Oh, yeah.
And I think Reggie asked him about it, and he was just like, man, he started talking about everything.
Yeah.
How the GM was pretty much doing a victory lap over the draft. And how he kind of lost, they kind of lost the locker room and the way they handled Justin Tucker. I'm like, damn, y'all really talking about that?
And a lot of it is coming
this
out.
This was week four.
Even more of it is coming out now.
You
know, a lot of it is coming out now. So that's the first thing. It's like, man, that's crazy. The second thing that is interesting, and this is also kind of stating the obvious, it just puts a different spin on everything in terms of the coaches that are available out there, to the point that now there are reports that Miami is having second thoughts about Mike McDaniel.
Well, that was the thing that felt interesting.
We like him, but
with the coaching carousel portion of this is was it Jason Schultz or Jordan Schultz? There we go.
I had Starbucks baby.
Yeah,
I wasn't going to bring that up, but okay. NFL Insider was reporting that his, you know, within 40-something minutes, an hour to make it easy, John Harbaugh's agent had already received 7 calls for his services.
And there were only 6
openings. No, there were 7 openings, and one of those was the Baltimore Ravens one that just opened. So you knew in that moment that teams that had coaches were calling around, and that seems to be the case. I think that's been substantiated by others. I think Josina Anderson was the one who was talking about the Miami Dolphins being interested, but only being interested to the point of wanting it to be assured that they could get him before moving on from Mike McDaniel. It seems like that is the case for a lot of coaches, and that makes sense. John Harbaugh is a good coach, a good CEO. He seemed to be a player's coach, but it felt like he lost the locker room there to some degree, depending on what reports you believe. Yeah. And then also, I think it was just after a while, sometimes you don't need – it's not about being better or worse. You just need different.
Yeah.
That too, but I want to bring it kind of local here, if we can kind of localize this a little bit. I also think there is a Lamar Jackson factor here.
Oh, without question.
That cannot be ignored. It's unfair. You know, you've talked about it a lot. You know, his playoff record and is, you know, it's on him, and yet it's not always his fault. It's mostly not his fault sometimes. You know, even this one, you know, it wasn't his fault they missed a kick, you know, or whatever. But having a superstar franchise quarterback is an incredible blessing for whatever team might have him. It's also a curse, because if it doesn't happen, and it doesn't happen soon enough, and what is Lamar Jackson's record, like 3-7 in the postseason or something like that? It's not great. Then all of a sudden, it does start coming back onto the head coach.
And it should, because the buck stops with the coach.
Even
and
if it's not necessarily Lamar Jackson's fault.
But even outside of Lamar Jackson, they lost a lot of games in the fourth quarter. They blew a lot of leads.
Yes.
And this wasn't even this year. This was last year, maybe the year before
that. Was the one on the goal line, the fumble? And
Zay Flowers had some of those. Yeah, Mark Andrews had some of those. And outside of just those big billboard-type moments, there's a lot of detail-oriented things that were being lost by the wayside in Baltimore, and those are the types of things that you expect from a John Harbaugh that we have buttoned down. You can get into like the deeper portions of the reporting, but I think that generally gets you the idea there. And I also think it's worth remembering, this is not the first time they've been ready, at least the culture, the people in Baltimore, have been ready to possibly part ways with John Harbaugh. You remember in 2017 or 18? There was talks about him being on the hot seat, and then in comes Lamar Jackson to save his bacon, and all of a sudden we're in an entirely different world.
Yeah.
So I think that that's also where you get to the, are we appeasing Lamar Jackson or are we appeasing John Harbaugh? Well, Lamar Jackson, obviously, you go with the two-time MVP.
Of course, 100% of the time. And that's why I'm localizing it. I mean, this is just like complete, you know, radio fodder, so to speak. But if C.J. Stroud...
At this point?
Yeah. If C.J. Stroud doesn't do it this year and then doesn't do it next year and then has a bad break, somebody missed a kick or there's a fumble on the goal line and he doesn't do it again, it is human nature. It is not just like, oh, you're reaching. No, it happens all the time. We just talked about it.
And I think stuff like that is how you can lose a locker room too, where that stuff keeps happening. It might not happen in the first season.
And it might not be any coach's fault. It just happens.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of it was bad luck for the Ravens. Mm-hmm. I feel like they had a lot of bad luck, but also it's a lot of coaching stuff in there too that wasn't good that he dropped the ball on.
Yeah, but he's changed the entire cycle of the carousel. There's a lot of teams that could use an experienced coach like him, because how many coaches or how many teams do you look at right now? And also there's reporting that Todd Monken was part of his unwillingness to part ways with Todd Monken might have been part of this. Todd Monken seems like he'll be attached at the hip with John Harbaugh where he goes. That's a good offensive coordinator. How many teams could use, one, an establishing of the culture of their team, but then also coming side saddle with a play caller that is pretty good, especially in a time period where folks are looking to hire head coaches, but they don't know that they're going to have an offensive-minded play caller coming with them. There are a lot of the guys we were talking about this that are probably best suited to be head coaches right now, defensive guys. Mm-hmm. How appealing does that become where you get a CEO head coach that can establish the culture and an offensive play caller with experience?
And Harbaugh, for all his flaws that have come to light and losing the locker room and all that stuff, we talked about La Canfora, despite all that, he will change a culture. You know, he will change just the Harbaugh name alone will change a culture. It does have me thinking, because Tennessee Titans, they're interviewing everyone. Like
they really are.
Name a candidate. They're interviewing that
Jason
dude.
Garrett.
Jason Garrett's the latest.
Which, had to be his first interview he had since he was a Cowboy,
years,
right?
In years.
Well, remember, he got the Giants job after that for a little bit as well. But, yeah, I don't know what the Titans are looking for. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is a Borgonzi just doing the thing where he goes, I overturned every stone, and, well, look, it's my homeboy somehow. Yeah. You know, but – even still, I don't know that I'd be looking for Jason Garrett, which is to say, Titans, listen up. I think that he's the best that you can do. I think you need to take Jason Garrett off of that TV and put him in your offices.
I'm glad you said best you can do, because I heard the boys talking this morning about, well, the Cleveland Browns are just going to get like a David Culley at this point. Nobody wants that job. Nobody wants the Browns job. It's a hellhole. It's dysfunctional, the quarterback situation and all that. What if they say, screw it, John Harbaugh? Oh, you know, just.
That'd be real sick behavior.
I mean, they would have to pay a lot.
Yeah, well, they would have
to. They would have to pay a lot.
Say, screw it.
I think he's a Cleveland guy, too.
Yeah.
His family from Cleveland. Mm-hmm.
What a wild switch that'd be from Baltimore that would be to Cleveland.
That would be hilarious.
That'd be the ultimate revenge.
Yeah. I think he was on record saying he grew up a Browns fan, too. Yeah. So it's like the perfect ending for it.
Mm-hmm. There is still, though, with the number of coaches that are out there, and obviously we always say the thing, there's only 32 of these jobs. Yeah. I think the Browns have the possibility of getting a good coach. Of the ones that are open, because I think it gets really tough when you start looking at the places that could try and lure a John Harbaugh and get him and then dispose of their current coach. Which one would you be most interested in seeing him go to?
Well, you said open. I still think it's Miami, and it's not technically open. Harbaugh in Miami would be something. I think they would have the means. I think it'd be good for him. Do you have another one?
I think the Giants is an interesting place.
Giants is a good one.
High profile team. They have a quarterback that they like. I don't know how. I still am not sold on Jackson Dart as super franchise quarterback, but I'm also still working through what the modern necessities are for quarterback and how that's changed over the last decade or so. But yeah, I could easily see them giving Jackson Dart an offensive coordinator that knows how to use a dude who can run with use his legs. Having John Harbaugh establish a culture that has not been there since probably Coughlin. That could work out really well there in the NFC.
I don't think Titans. I don't think Cardinals. As much as it would be cool with the Browns, I don't think Browns. Giants is a possibility. I think Miami's a possibility. What about in division with his brother? Raiders.
The Raiders.
That's also another one where I could see that happening. I do wonder.
Is that an attractive job, though, outside of just being Vegas?
Tom Brady, though.
You say Tom Brady, though. I think that could be part of the problem. Mm-hmm. They have so many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you come from an organization in Baltimore where the reporting is even Eric DaCosta was not John Harbaugh's boss. He reported directly to the owner. Yeah. There was a level of consistency there.
Yeah.
You want to jump into a Las Vegas Raiders situation where there hasn't been consistency in the last few years with the organizational structure, more power to you.
Yeah, and I think the Raiders are probably, I talked about the Browns overpaying for him, but I think the Raiders would be the team that will probably give him whatever he wants and overpay him. Hell, I think they did that with the previous coach, Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
But I just don't look at that. I know they got the number one overall pick, but I don't look at that job as like, oh, that's a great job right there, because they've been a disaster since I can remember.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody said the Ravens are also from Cleveland, Figgy. I think you were recalling
that thing.
That's
the real Cleveland.
The coaching
Browns.
Carousel is going to be wild. There's a lot of coaches that I did not anticipate, and they're already getting jobs. Even I was just talking about this in the break. The idea that Raheem Morris, now fired Atlanta Falcons coach. I thought that he would be in the place where he just kind of ends up in a D.C. circumstance. Cliff Kingsbury, he's getting head coaching opportunities as well, I think, that, or at least interviews. This should be a very interesting cycle to watch, especially with all the defensive-minded guys that are up.
It's going
to
be a very – it always is, but this one, especially with some of the names out there, some of the jobs out there, it's going to be very interesting. Also worth mentioning here, you got this – we got this during the last break. Kyemy Fairbairn. How about old Kyemy Fairbairn? AFC special teams player.
I knew that was going to happen.
You knocked down six field goals.
Yeah.
I feel like it has to happen. He's the second Texan to win this particular award in 2 weeks. And, yeah, he did a damn good job in that circumstance. And I think you probably feel as good about Kyemy Fairbairn as you've ever felt going into a playoff.
I feel great about him. I just don't want to see him. I want to see touchdowns.
Honestly, I was kind of hoping they rest him a little bit, man. I'm like, brother, you need to rest that leg.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would be nice, but he's out here kicking. So obviously, 44 field goals, most field goals in a single season in NFL history for Kyemy. And I love that. I think we've gotten rid of that stigma that Kyemy can't kick in a cold.
Yeah, I think
I think that feels like that has gone by the wayside, which is very encouraging considering that you're the five seed And as much as we talk about the possibility, right, you're going to Pittsburgh, but as much as we talk about the possibility of some teams winning and bringing games back to NRG Stadium at some point in this mm-hmm. postseason, you might have to just go on the road for a lot of this. And there's some places that can get a little cold. Mile High, New England, Buffalo. There's some teams that you – there's places where you might play in the cold. I think it's great that you have – even if we're in a place that we would like to see them in the end zone more where he's kicking extra points as opposed to field goals, the way that you are playing right now might ask him to kick field goals. I feel the best about him in his tenure, and that says a lot for a dude who has been consistent.
Probably in his entire tenure, yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Somebody said, let Atlanta hire Deion Sanders. Good God. Good God almighty,
Atlanta?
Man.
Atlanta?
Cleveland. Shadur and Deion together again.
That would be hilarious.
Do you know how I would have to try and hide from the media that we would get out of Cleveland? You thought we were sick of hearing about Colorado.
Hey, you might want to tap into that. That might be some good thing to watch.
Yeah, it'll be entertaining to watch. But after a while, I think I'd get sick of it.
Oh, yeah. I got sick of it in Colorado.
Deion going to come in. Do y'all bleed now? Do y'all bleed now?
Yeah.
That bull junk.
Yes.
That's a good Deion. I like that. There you go.
Do y'all bleed now?
Around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Somebody said McCarthy to the link to the Giants. Yeah, and some of this is we're in the early stages where teams are talking to a lot of people. I think the teams have gotten better in the hiring process as much as we can talk down to some of the instances, the Rooney Rule manipulation, so on and so forth. I think teams have gotten on with the program of, hey, cast your net wide and see there's a lot of talent in this league and see if you can find somebody who's going to have the talent and the alignment with what you want to get you a good football team.
And just real quick, DraftKings has released the odds of Harbaugh's next landing spot. Giants is number one. Raiders number two.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes to the Raiders, man. They give him whatever he wants. Mm-hmm.
Best of luck. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, shout out to Jonathan Alexander of the Houston Chronicle. He had some awards for the Texans after their regular season was completed. Do you agree with some of the awards that he gave out? I'll ask John Lopez, and you play along too on the text line, and we'll do it next.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
In the loop here on Sports Radio 610, John Lopez, Reginald Atatula, Figgy Fig, hanging out with you on this Wednesday. Happy Wednesday. Jonathan Alexander of the Houston Chronicle, you know, beat writer, covers the team, does a great job doing so. Put together 10 regular season awards for the Houston Texans. And, you know, obviously in looking towards to cap off the regular season and kind of spin it forward as to what it taught us about them heading into the playoffs. And I'm not going to hit all 10. I don't know that we have time for that. But I wanted to pepper you with a few of them and see how you match up and how you kind of look at that as we get ready for this playoff adventure for the Texans.
Yeah, this is one of those where, kind of like Figgy's mixtape, I deliberately did not look at the list. I want to just gut reaction for these, 10 categories you said?
I won't hit all 10, but I'll just kind of pepper some of them and play along with us. 713-572-4610, do you agree? Who would you put up for these awards? The easy one, the one that you have to do whenever you put up any awards for anything, who's the MVP of this Texans team this year?
It's relatively easy, not as easy as it may seem. I'm going to say Will Anderson Jr. is the MVP of this team.
Any disagreement, Fig?
Nope.
That's where Jonathan Alexander went, right? He obviously pointed to the idea that clearly did not break a sack record like Myles Garrett this year, but incredibly valuable leader of the defense, at least, I mean, emotionally it's in some ways he has, spiritually he's that, still getting better.
I think it's closer than most people would say, simply because Derek Stingley does as much for him as he does for Derek Stingley. I think Derek Stingley would be my number two, and pretty close.
Yeah, that's the beauty of what this defense is. Yeah. You could make arguments for
those two.
Four? I think you got four, maybe a possible. Four and a possible, Fig.
Any on the offense?
Not for me. I would say,
it's going to be hard to make the case.
I'll put my four in order, see if they align with you. I would say Will Anderson one, Derek Stingley two, Azeez Al-Shaair three, and probably Kamari Lassiter four.
No Danielle Hunter there?
Ooh. No. I mean, yes, but not in the top four. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that this one was obvious. It felt obvious to me. Biggest surprise.
Biggest Tommy Togiai.
That's the one.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't have been to some degree. They made it clear their expectations and their capabilities.
Yeah, but still, you didn't expect this.
Right.
Reggie ain't expect this.
Right. His ability to not only be a contributor and a consistent contributor, but a contributor at this level. Remember when I still vividly remember being in that tent out there at the Houston Methodist Training Center, you know, where we did our media availability when D'Amico said that. And I felt the visceral reaction from everybody, all the media there, because we were like, all right, what are we doing? But he has proven not only to be right, D'Amico Ryans, in calling Togiai, and Caserio has echoed this, the most consistent player on this team. And that felt like that was high praise just off the strength of, there's a lot of dudes who consistently bring their A game. He is so consistent, you know, and that could be consistent on a low level. No. He's consistent on a pretty high level, and now you need it. It's going to be super important. You need him more because now you've lost Tim Settle. You've lost Mario Edwards to season-ending injuries. And unfortunately, that's the case. But he's been able to step up and give you a lot of what you lost from them. Seth made a great point this morning that one of the things that you miss with those other guys is the ability to penetrate, you know, and really create pressure on the quarterback and maybe get some sacks.
Yeah.
They've gotten – I've seen a little bit more and more of that from the pairing of Rankins and Togiai as we go as well. So he's been such a surprise, such a good one, in fact, and that's why everybody was so damn happy to see him get in the end zone.
I think a successful year would have been serviceable. You know, if he were just serviceable, that would have been a good year. So absolutely he's the biggest – I remember, in fact, we had him on, you know, at our table at camp, and I remember after – I might have even told you this, but I told someone, man, I hope he makes the squad. Man, I hope he makes the team. Yeah, he made the team.
Was that somebody's pet cat? We ain't have him.
I don't think we had him as a pet cat. I don't believe
that
we got that.
That would have been a good pet cat.
It would have been a good one. Well, I feel like we can't pet cat next training camp. I feel like he's out of the running for pet cat circumstances.
Yeah.
Most underrated player on this team this season.
Most underrated player.
And before I move any further, somebody said, I'm guessing the MVP, or maybe I'm guessing MVP. They said it's Kyemi Fairbairn for being the highest scorer. So I see you and I appreciate that.
I have two options here that I'm thinking about.
Well, that's good because Jonathan has two options.
Seriously?
Here as a tie. I want to see if you nail this.
Dude, if I nail this, I'm going to say Jalen Petrie.
Yes. No. Not underrated. Not underrated.
Oh.
Sorry, I'm thinking about another award.
I'm going to say Jalen Petrie.
Uh-huh.
And... Trent Brown.
I want to see. You missed on both accounts, but that doesn't mean that you're wrong. It's subjective. However, is Jonathan Alexander wrong here? He goes with Danielle Hunter and Kamari Lassiter.
I think he's wrong.
Yeah. He's underrated?
Yeah. No.
Nah, man.
I think my guys are underrated. I'm going to claim that as a victory.
Don't we all, right? Like, that's how it goes. But it is fair to point out that Danielle Hunter finished the season third in the league, 15 sacks. Mm-hmm. In a season in which you had the leader having 23, it's easy to forget, especially because of Danielle's demeanor. In fact, it's easier now to even see why Danielle Hunter is not as appreciated around the league because he skates under the radar so much. A 15-sack season, and Danielle Hunter has not gotten the love that he rightfully deserves. And it's easy for Will Anderson Jr. He was the number three pick that season where you get him and you trade it up. So people around the league see him. He's effervescent personality, all of these things.
Yeah.
Leader, boisterous, always has a smile on his face. Danielle Hunter just as much is the other side of that claw that I think makes teams or puts teams in a vice grip.
I mean, he's underrated on a national scale, so maybe, you know, maybe that's what he's looking at.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The Kamari Lassiter thing is interesting, though.
Mm-hmm. I think he's gained a lot of acclaim this year.
I think around the league, people love him. Yeah. I think Mina Kimes has said on a number of times that he is her favorite player to watch.
She voted for him for all pro.
And it's deservedly so.
Yeah.
And it speaks to how well he does and how important he is. But yeah, I think you went with Petrie and you went with Trent Brown. I think Trent Brown is a good one here. Mm-hmm. Why did you bring up Trent?
We've seen it. I think I said this yesterday, maybe the day before. You can point to an exact moment in time when this offensive line started getting better. It's when Trent Brown got on the field.
Yeah, it's funny you said that because I was kind of thinking the same thing with Ed Ingram, where I'm like, but
he's had a little bit of a decline.
Yeah, but I don't think, even though he was in the lineup, the offensive line was still bad.
Yes.
It wasn't like they improved when he stepped in. Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had a certain infatuation recently with Sheldon Rankins. That's been a name that's come up. I would throw his name up here as well.
Yeah, that's a good
one. For me personally, I still maintain that the containing quarterbacks thing got fixed when Sheldon Rankins was like, okay, so I guess this is my responsibility. I got you.
Yeah.
And I thought that cleared up. Most versatile.
That's fair. Most versatile? Ooh, boy. I'm going to say Miles Bryant.
I feel like he technically fits. How do you like Titus Howard?
Oh, layup. Yeah. I just forgot about him.
And it's easy too on an offensive on this offensive line. His versatility is also, it can't be taken for granted in finding a decidedly about average offensive line performance. Mm-hmm. You needed him to fill stop gaps.
Yeah.
A number of times when you were trying to figure some things out. And he's handled himself incredibly well. I mean, just this game, he slides back out to right tackle. He's played three positions and played them pretty well. And that was absolutely necessary for you to make this happen.
Yeah, no, that's a great answer there.
Best newcomer.
Best newcomer, I guess we have to say Jaden Higgins.
That's one that you could throw up there. Would you throw up Ariante Ursary?
It's either one of those two. It's either one of those two. Ursary starting more, of course, playing more. So maybe he does get the edge. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Ursary is – we have not really done a lot of, there's Ursary not quite looking like
– Early on, but that was kind of expected.
That is a rookie doing rookie things, and then very quickly –
second-round rookie.
He has settled into being a pro in the National Football League.
Yeah.
That is admirable at what has, at times been looked at as the most difficult spot – at least on the offense at left tackle.
And remember, you had Cam Robinson there.
Yeah.
So I don't think people was expecting him to be the starting left tackle week one.
Cam Robinson told him, hey, let me go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's clearly nothing for me to do here.
That's right.
Nick Caserio
said,
Nick Caserio said, my bad. I thought you was going to be the starter, bro. I trade you somewhere else.
Exactly.
So, that one absolutely stands there. And then most improved was one that came in here.
Most improved.
And I found this answer to be interesting that Jonathan threw up here.
Woody Marks?
That's actually a really good answer. I like that one. Although,
most improved.
Rookie, but over the course of the season, he improved quite a bit. Mm-hmm. He threw up Aziz here. And I think I think it's because of the coverage. And the coverage aspect. He has a couple of interceptions, and one of them obviously kind of falls into it. But he's also had some really big breakups.
Mm-hmm.
He has not been able to be attacked in the same way. And that was a thing I vividly remember last year talking about the linebackers' inability in coverage. That has not been the case to the same degree. That's part of what's made this defense.
Where would they be if Woody Marks didn't improve?
Yeah, and that's a good question.
Yeah.
Or I don't know, how much do you view the Woody Marks as improvement or opportunity? Because remember, early on, it was giving Nick Chubb the ball.
Yeah, I look at that as an opportunity.
Yeah.
He took that opportunity, and they couldn't take him off the field.
Yeah, yeah.
What about, I was thinking of Henry Tolotoa. Do you feel like he kind of improved this year?
He was good last year, but I think he has improved. I mean, he's wearing the green dot when Aziz is not out there, you know.
But we cannot forget that we also, when Aziz wasn't out there, we were like, ooh, I miss Aziz.
Yeah, there was some drop-off.
I think that he benefits from Aziz. Aziz lets him slot into the role that he needs to play, which is one of aggression, one of speed, one of quickness, and one of support to Aziz, I think, and taking that green dot off his helmet, I think helps.
Yeah.
And all of that slots in the way that it needs to.
And honestly, I feel like he's keeping Chris Harris off the field.
Yeah. Texters are coming in. EJ Speed, versatility.
Playing a little rush end when was it Barnett that just needed a breather, or was it Horton?
Newcomer, Trent Brown.
Trent Brown, yeah.
Yeah.
That, especially because it's not just the fact that he's gotten in and played. You definitely love that. Mm-hmm. The veteran presence that we thought he was mostly here for. You can't overlook what he's done in helping everybody acclimate to what the system was. Yeah. And here you are with an offensive line that is serviceable, which that if you go back to training mm-hmm. camp when we were watching this, that felt like that was a lofty goal. And they've somewhat achieved that here. Yeah. So, yeah, shout out to Jonathan Alexander for those awards.
Real quick, who biggest disappointment of the year?
Well, that one feels pretty evident.
Christian Kirk.
That's actually a good answer.
Yeah.
I think CJ Gardner-Johnson hits pretty hard because that was your first swipe.
Christian Kirk is still here.
Yeah. But you've had to try and iterate a number of times mm-hmm. to fix that safety spot to the point where that safety spot is still a question as of yesterday as Kayvon Wallace gets waived. So I think that that CJ Gardner-Johnson definitely hits, but I think also it tells you that this team is not going to settle for less in any way, shape, or form.
Correct.
And so that is interesting, and they've stood on that all the way to this point. Like I said, all the way till yesterday when Kayvon Wallace gets waived. So shout out to Jonathan Alexander and the Chronicle for a very interesting set of awards given out to Texas players for the regular season. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including the University of Houston Cougars had themselves a dude who is going to be on the actually, he already is on the national stage. We'll talk about that more next. All right, let's get into what's popping here on this Wednesday in the loop on Sports Radio 610. And another off day for the boys. Remember, the SLID schedule has
it's Tuesday.
That it is their Tuesday.
Yeah.
So Tuesday would typically be an off day, which is great for the fellas getting themselves fully healthy and rested. I bet they might run through a wall at Acrisure Stadium. Can you imagine the amount of rest that they got plus an extra day?
What's the stadium called?
Acrisure Stadium.
Three Rivers.
Didn't know that.
I know you didn't.
I still call it Heinz Field.
I bet most people.
I still call it Three Rivers, and it's not even the same.
It's not even the same building. Yeah, I feel like if I had to take a guess, I'd say about 55% of people still call it Heinz Field.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And then some people just don't call it anything. Mm-hmm. And I probably exist within the 7% of people that actually call it by its name because I'm a weirdo, and we know this.
I actually was watching the game the other Sunday night, and Tirico said something about Acrisure Field. I said, "Oh, Reggie's gonna."
That's right.
You know, need to be alone.
We didn't mention this, did we? How good Tirico's call was that final game?
I mentioned it briefly. He's so good.
That was the best thing for Al Michaels to leave and go to Thursday Night Football so he could get his shine, man.
It was so good. He does everything like that.
He's always been that. Yeah. Dating back to, I recall him on ESPN, always felt consummate pro.
He had me excited, man. I'm just glad Al Michaels wasn't on that call, man.
He reminds me.
Don't worry, these Al Michaels lovers are going to come in and tell you to stop banging on that man.
But he does remind me of a younger Al Michaels.
Does he?
Because he can tell the story in real time. You know, like laying out all the things about that field goal attempt. And
he was laying out how Justin Tucker was no longer there.
Yeah. And Al Michaels used to be the best at that.
Yeah.
And I think there is a little similarity there.
Somebody said the way D'Amico has sounded agitated in recent interviews, I think this defense is going to come out in God mode. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I sure hope so.
Yeah.
I sure hope so because that's – if you talk about putting your best foot forward in the playoffs, your best foot is absolutely
those guys.
This defense. So, yeah, if they come out playing the violent football game that they typically can or that they possibly can, I think that'll be good for them.
Yeah.
We were just speaking of – these Texans, we were just going through some of the awards, the regular season awards that Jonathan Alexander was giving, and I realized I messed up. So mea culpa here, because the biggest disappointment is not C.J. Gardner-Johnson in my estimation. Even though I think I'm with you on the Christian Kirk, I don't think it's that. It's Joe Mixon.
Yeah, it's just how you look at it. I'm looking at the season, you know, and those guys didn't even, Mixon did not play.
Yeah, Mixon. What happened to Jimmy Ward?
But it is
Ward?
A disappointment. And Jimmy Ward.
Yeah, what happened to Jimmy Ward? Sure. Probably can use him right about now.
Definitely could. And we still haven't heard anything to that end either. But Joe Mixon being a part of this team, we're talking about the defense and yes, helping that be right is having a running back that does, and I love having Woody Marks, but let's be honest. Joe Mixon took an offensive line last year and made a passable running game. Mm-hmm. How much does he take a passable offensive line? How much further do you go there? I think, especially when you look at this offense, the inability to score in the red zone, a lot of these things are maybe not even fully answered, but at least you give a good attempt at figuring those things out with Joe Mixon. So it's very disappointing that he wasn't on this team.
Yes.
What was not disappointing was the University of Houston Cougars at the Fertitta Center, really turning up. They had a big-time matchup of top 25 teams Obviously, the Cougars, number seven, they welcomed in Texas Tech. And this has been a very good basketball program of late. And they showed it on the court, except the best player on the court, the young man wearing number four for your Houston Cougars, Kingston Fleming, and he finished the game, and it sounded like this.
It's a pull-up. Fleming. Oh, he wanted it, and he got it. Under 2 minutes to go. Houston and Texas Tech stuck to each other.
This kid loves to take over.
Wow. Fleming's again. Yes. Fleming. Sizing up Petty. Synaxis, don't you want it? He does want it.
Fleming! Oh my God! Again! Talk about stepping up.
23 points for Kingston Fleming.
9 in 2 minutes, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, nine in 2 minutes.
9 of 19 from the field. I mean, 5 assists in this game. And he took over in those moments. It felt great because Houston basketball has had a couple of takeover moments this week.
Yeah.
And Kingston Fleming, he is on the national radar. I hate to say it this way, and I probably shouldn't, but this is the way that it comes to mind. Don't get too used to Kingston Fleming's being here.
I was just going
to
say, enjoy it while you can. I was on the same plane. Enjoy him while you can because it's going to be a one and done for that kid. Unbelievable. By the way, I was watching this game. It was a big college basketball night for me. It was just a good night. Watched a little bit of Michigan and Penn State. Michigan almost lost. I mean, maybe should have lost. Watched an incredible finish of the Aggies in Auburn. Our program director is very bitter, but that's okay. I would have been bitter too.
He'd be all right.
And then watched a lot of UH and Texas Tech, which, as you laid out, these are the two teams. Shout out to all the others. Respect to all the others. These are the two teams in the Big 12.
Yeah.
And the last loss that UH had at the Fertitta Center was to Texas Tech. But I'm watching this game, and I don't know how this happens occasionally. I'm watching the game, and on the second row behind the UH bench is my son.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Tatsuya Imai. I was like, he's everywhere.
No. I'm like, how the hell did he get those tickets? I started texting him, and I was like, what is he? That's BG. What's he doing there? He's on the second row of number seven.
He's watching greatness. It feels like that's the place to be.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, having been in that building, you know that it goes up for these basketball games.
Yeah.
It came through the television screen.
That's like you
the
and,
excitement of this
and
game.
Bob at the Browns game. I'm like, yeah. How did this happen? Like, he's got those tickets. But really, really good college basketball last night. And if you didn't know, the Aggie game came down to a buzzer-beating shot that got overturned because the ball was still in his hands as the buzzer was sounding. Sorry, Parker. But it was. So really, really good. I think Texas played Tennessee, took a nail on that one, but there was some good basketball.
Yeah, it was a night where you didn't have major football, and you were wondering, all right, what are you going to – you know, wet your whistle with. If you enjoy college basketball, you were treated to something nice. And if you love Houston sports, the Cougars got you covered 14-1. And I imagine that number seven goes up after that win. One more thing about this game, though. You notice the young guys keep coming through here because we mentioned Kingston Fleming's. We did not give a salute to Chris Sinak Jr. Double-double. Mm-hmm. Yet another one of these. And, you know, you have Emmanuel Sharp. You have Milos Uzan that are there. But yeah, Chris Sinak, along with Kingston Fleming, they're stepping in, they're stepping up. This team, I think we all have the expectation, and it hits you in the veins in the same way as, you know, ages pass where you know some of the people, you build on it year over year, and the expectation exists that come tournament time.
Absolutely.
Elite Eight, Final Four, you should be seeing the UH Cougars in there.
And don't, you know, that's not to sleep on Texas Tech. This was a ball game, man. I mean, this was tight all the way. They play incredible defense, physical defense without actually touching the other guy too much.
Which is hard. Right up on people. That's tough.
Yeah.
I just love watching the Cougars, not to like wax poetic, because you talk about defense. They're so good at defense that sometimes they're just and not just defense, effort, but sometimes they're doing things that don't even make sense in my brain, where just like a tap out looks athletic and gritty. You're just like, this team, they buy in so well to what Kelvin Sampson is doing. So salute to them for that. And then elsewhere, I would like you to join me in laughing at your rivals in the AL West, the Athletics, because in announcing, I think they announced yesterday that they are going to be in Sacramento for three more years. So they're definitely going to be in that building.
That's tough.
That's too much.
Man.
That's too much.
I actually do hate that.
I feel bad for them players, man.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, but I also hate that for the rest of the league that has to deal with the abnormality of having to play in a AAA stadium. because that team willingly has decided to be in this place.
That's
not
a long time.
It is
3 years.
To the point that they're actually they're putting in trademarks for the Sacramento A's and the Sacramento Athletic, because it's going to be a long enough time period where they need to do the branding.
They might as well buy a house there, man.
Yeah.
However, I speak about trademarks. They did not put in a trademark for something that you would imagine they would have, John Lopez.
Yeah, the Las Vegas Athletics trademark was denied. And another one,
was
too.
It denied?
Yes, it was.
Okay,
denied.
So it was denied.
And maybe because someone else had already put it in. My point.
No, it had. I don't know if. I didn't see the denial portion, and maybe it was the last dive.
Yeah.
Which is a group of Oakland Athletics supporters, and I did say Oakland intentionally. They were the fans that you saw protesting the A's when they were, you know, the last season when they were leaving. And they just decided, let's put in the trademark for the Las Vegas A's. And I believe that it's pending. I don't know that they have gotten it for certain.
I think the Athletics and the A's were both denied, probably because of because it's pending, as you said. But this is where it's just incredible. Before you even start thinking about, you know, the move, or at least you're just thinking about the move, you put in a trademark. So nobody can do this.
Yeah, you put it in before you even think about the moves.
Yes.
You do it just in case.
How, you know, inept is the Athletics organization?
Yes. The answer is yes. Yeah. They continue to do this. And so I enjoy laughing at them.
Just imagine right now they say, all right, let's put in that trademark, guys.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. We can't put the trademark in?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder why not.
I can't laugh too much, though, because that feels like something I would do. Just, oh man, I'll do that later.
Nobody's and then you come,
yeah, I'll, you know, I'll apply for that later. Yeah. You come back later. Oh, they've closed the application.
But you don't get paid millions of dollars to do this type of stuff.
Yeah, but I think one thing that we always do, we're like, oh well, if I was paid money to do this, I would. And the reality is, it would just be the same stuff. We would just get dull to the money and act the same way.
Yeah.
And so, as a reforming lazy person, I cannot laugh but too much. But I'm gonna laugh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna laugh at the A's. Hopefully not. Hopefully I won't.
I wonder what they're gonna come up with, because you got to come up with something.
I think they'll probably just pay them off.
Anytime there's a move, you know, the teams, well in advance, already put. In fact, that's kind of how stories get leaked. Like, hey, so and so put in a trademark for.
Yeah,
you know,
you seen it with Tom Brady often, the Patriots and all this stuff.
I remember when Washington was changing their team name; they had applied
that's
for.
That's the one I was thinking.
They
of.
Applied for a number of them,
just
in case. People were reporting
it.
Wow! I just realized the A's more incompetent than the Washington Commanders. That's a wild thing to think about. Wow! And I will end with that.
Do
that's
what the
popping.
Commanders doing, A's. Do what Daniel Snyder doing.
Yeah. And a team that has fired in the last year both of their coordinators and had their star quarterback injured.
Yeah, look at that team and do what they're doing.
Yikes. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us here. Coming up next, will the Texans change what they do defensively pre-snap? And should they? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about it next.